Are you stuck in the same old routine at work? Do you find yourself hitting a creative wall, unable to see beyond your current perspective? It's time to break free and unlock the power of fresh perspectives. Hello, David Guthrow back with Discover Fresh Perspectives. And today I am with Nico Heumann, who I met many, many years ago. So welcome, Nico.
Thanks, David.
You know, one of the things that I ask everybody when they want to get on this podcast is what's something that you're passionate about that you'd like to share your perspective on? And I loved what you said because it was the shortest of anyone. And you just said joy. So tell me about your passion for joy, Nico.
Exactly, joy. That's just the way that I summarize it. And my first book is called Joy Farming. It's How to Find Joy. To me, the big thing is in life is we have to think of why do we live this life? Why are we on this planet? If you listen to my accent, I wasn't born in North Vancouver, came from far away. And we came from South Africa because I was at my 40th birthday party, was our farewell party in South Africa. And we lived there because of a lost quality of life that happened there. Crime and violence was taking over, and it was just survival. It wasn't, you couldn't thrive anymore. And so then you had to make the choice or you had to make the decision. What do you want to do? What is the next step? And my wife and I make the decision that we want to immigrate to Canada. And we chose Canada because at the time, the United Nations had, what do they call them, indices that they published on the quality of life across the world, which cities have got the highest quality of life. And at the time, Vancouver was the highest in the English-speaking world. And I think it was, somewhere in Switzerland was in the German-speaking world. Now, we could speak English, so we decided it has to be Canada and it has to be Vancouver. So we came to Canada and we really found this place and we found the joy when we arrived. Because in Canada, in Vancouver, you can have a free life. You don't have to look over your shoulder the whole time. You don't want to have to be afraid of anything the whole time. You can be in this freedom and you can do what you want to do and you can grow and you can help other people. And it's a joyful place, quality of life, joy, anyways. And then fast forward a few years, then I got very involved in my career because you're a breadwinner. You have to provide for the family. And as an immigrant at 40, I basically started over because our money was worthless in this country. And the prices here are astronomical for people who were born here, let alone for people who are coming in from a different currency and their money is worthless. So at the age of 40, I had to start over. So the way that I did it was to work harder and to find more opportunities and to say no to nothing. Because you cannot. You got to find the opportunities. And in the process, I lost my joy. I just became this absolutely driven by work person. And enough was never enough. Because you're constantly thinking, I don't have enough for this. I don't have, what about retirement? What about this? What about the next thing? And I realized very quickly that that is where I'm at. At the time, I was a McKay Forum chair, and I'm still a McKay Forum chair today. So I got all the tools in from speakers like yourself who came in to speak to us and brought us the recipes and the things that we have to teach the members of McKay Forums on how to have a good life and a balanced life and whatever you want to call it, and not just work, work, work all the time. So I had the tools. I was just not using them. And at the same time, I was also exposed to a thing called EOS, the Entrepreneur Operating System. And there's a book called The EOS Life. And it's about living an intentional life, living it so that you have time for other passions, surrounding yourself with people that inspire you, that whole thing. And I realized I've got all of these things right at my fingertips. And I'm not, you know, it's like the mechanic. The mechanic's car is always leaking oil, right? It's the same principle. Okay. And I just realized, oh, brother, this is where you're at. So about 8-9 years ago, I came back after being the CEO for a big transportation company back to Vancouver, and I was relaunching my career. I was nearly 60 at the time. And I decided, no, I was 55. I'm exaggerating. I was 55, 56 at the time. And I realized I need to build my last portion of my career. You know, I want to keep going for many years, but I will never do it if I'm not having fun, if I'm not having joy, if I'm not in a place where I want to get out and go do what I need to go do tomorrow. It will always be something that drives you forward. It's not everything is moonlight and roses all the time, but the overall purpose is there that drives you into that direction. And then I realized, okay, I got to cut out certain things in my life that don't bring me joy, and I've got to bring in more of the stuff that brings me, that bring me joy. So I actually made a list of these are my joy bringing stuff, and these are my joy suckers or energy bringers and energy suckers. Okay, what a sucking life, zappers and sappers, whatever you want to call it. And then I started putting that together. And from those two things, I said, okay, if I pick this and I like this and I become better and better at this thing that brings me joy, it just goes to a different level. And now if I can teach other people to do the same, why not? That's part of my purpose. So then I said, okay, I'm going to call myself a joy farmer. And I'm going to have the recipe, so to speak, because joy is an end product. You got to do certain things. If you don't get up in the morning and you get exercise, you don't get fresh air, you don't go into nature, you don't do those things, joy is not going to come to you. If you lie in bed until what time and the TV is on all the time, you don't sleep properly, blah, 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 you can't expect joy. You got to do what it needs to do to get your body healthy, to get your mind healthy, to get your lifestyle healthy. And then once you pack on that, then it's mental toughness. You've got to work with your brain. You've got to work with different areas. You've got to work with your time mastery. You've got to work with your emotions, how you handle your emotions, your relationships with other people, with your family, all those types of things. And when all of those things start falling into place, then you start getting joy as a byproduct.
So I think that's different from what a lot of people might say, that joy is something you seek, whereas you're saying joy is something that's an outcome of doing a bunch of things, right?
Yeah, I'll say that work happy, for you. Happiness is something you can seek. Happiness is in the moment, I'm happy. But you can be incredibly in an unhappy space right now or a difficult space right now, but you know you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're on purpose. And so the joy for me is that bigger feeling that you feel, okay, right now I'm not happy because I'm going to have to do certain things that I don't like doing, or I have to grow my comfort out of my comfort zone or something. I'm doing something that's, I'm not happy in the moment, but my joy is a bigger thing.
So what about this conversation? is it something where an outcome is joy? I hope the correct answer is yes. Okay, this is not a video. So Nico is shaking his head. Yes, that's true.
So. You see, what happens for me sometimes, I had to make, for example, now what you and I met and we went to CAPS at the time, Canadian Association of Professional Speakers. And just to give you an idea, something that on my joy list was to have conversations with people, deep conversations, and to connect with people. Okay. On my list was not to perform in front of people. Okay. Mm-hmm. So to me, and that's how I'm geared. Someone else is totally different. To me, to be a professional speaker and to be letter perfect and have the right slides and the right timing and all those types of things, it's mechanical, it doesn't bring me joy. Because also I feel like I'm coming in and I'm telling people this wonderful stuff, rah, 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 and then I leave. Normally that's what's speakers do sometimes. Whereas if I'm on the journey with them and I work with them, like with McKay Forums or with the EOA system, we're in the room together. I see them every quarter. We do planning together. If I see they're not going to a certain place, I challenge them there. Sometimes I'm angry with them. Sometimes I'm happy with them. You know, we're a journey. We're people. I'm not really angry at them. I'm just showing out, you know, if there's an elephant in the room or whatever, I'm going into the danger, as we say. But it's that relationship that I love and that gives me energy. So, and that's where the joy is for me on the long run. So in the moment, sometimes to get into that room, I have to prepare fully. I have to learn new techniques. And some of them are tough to do. And I'm not happy when I have to do that preparation and learning it. But the outcome and the end, I know that's driving me. And I know it's in there that brings me joy.
So what happens if I can imagine a scenario where there's two different people, the different things give them joy and they collide. You know, what happens in a case like that where me doing things to give me joy actually suck it from you?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that happen? And yeah, what do you do in a case like that?
Yeah, I've seen it. Well, the lines here get a little blurred with what people's strengths are also, because I've seen that often. I'll use the example. When I was in the trucking company, I had a very detail-oriented owner, and he wanted 27 spreadsheets before he would take that one decision. I'm exaggerated, of course, but that felt to me like this, okay? And we could not move forward until he had 27 spreadsheets. So in the beginning stages, I wanted to convince him that he doesn't need 27 spreadsheets. He just needs maybe three, and then he should be able to make a decision and let me help him with that and blah, blah, blah. But after a while, I realized it's just going to make it more difficult for him and for me. But then on my team was a financial person, and I went to her and I said to her, this is what I need. I need 27 spreadsheets. I'll give you the big picture because that's what I am. Then I want you to build me the 27 spreadsheets and interpret them for me and tell me what I need to tell the owner and bring these 27 spreadsheets to them. And between us, we developed this partnership that she could grow in her career as an accountant, and she became a CFO in the process, because this was financial information at the highest level that she had to interpret. So it was a challenge for her too, but it was in her joy area, sweet spot, so to speak. And it was totally out of mine. But by working together, the team got stronger and everyone got what they wanted. Because I could brief her, she would go do all the detail work, she would brief me back, and I would take that to the owner.
Which sounds great, you know, is giving people, finding out what gives them joy and giving them an opportunity to do what generates that. So let's speculate here for just a moment about joy. Because like I often like to think, how would our world be different if there was no fear and there was no greed? If we got rid of those two emotions. So let's flip that around and say, how would the world be different if more people were focused on doing the things that gave them joy? If you could speculate for just a moment on that. So globally, how would the world be different, Nico?
Wow, that's a big question. I would say, first of all, I know what it means to me. And I know what it means to my family and the people close to me and the people I work with. If you're in this place where you are looking for, you know, Terry Small was a speaker in one of our groups recently. He's the brain guy. And he spoke, his challenge to us was for 7 days consecutively, you got to go out and only compliment people. You cannot complain once. If you complain once, you start over until you get to 7 days. And it took him the first time 10 tries to get there. But if you're looking for joy, if you're looking for the positive thing, that is how our brains work. Our brains find it. And he had some exercises where he showed us that if you focus on, if you're looking for something, you're missing so much else. I don't know if there's some sort of the gorilla that comes across the screen.
Right, that nobody sees because they're working at something else. Yes, yeah. Yes.
Your brain goes there. Now, if we go and we want to find joy and help people find joy, all of a sudden we're looking for different things. I had someone recently who came to me and he was totally unreasonable. He was rude. He was, you know, he was interrupting people. He was just in a different place. And if I would have been triggered by him and go to that same place with him, there's no joy to be found. But if I'm in this place of, I'm trying to see what's going on here, how I can help him find joy, then I can dig deeper and see, ask questions later on, maybe come alongside, have some empathy and find out more what's going on in this whole thing. And once you know more, then you can, your attitude is different. So if we all can come from a place of trying to find joy and give joy or help people find joy, then I think the world will be a phenomenal place. I mean, we won't need all the police and all the negativity and all the politics. Oh, never mind. I shouldn't even go into politics. But I think, you know, you see what I'm saying. Because if our eye looks for something, we find it. And if I'm looking for something to criticize, I'm going to find it. But if I'm looking for somewhere where I can help, then it's a different ballgame.
Well, I think if a person gets joy by serving others, how different would that be if everyone went around doing that? How much better would the world would be?
Yeah.
So I'm curious a little bit, the name of your book, the title was The Joy Farmer. So can you say a little bit about that? Like how do you farm joy? I just love the concept of growing it, of planting it, of nurturing it, of giving it fertilizer, but the good kind of fertilizer.
I just use the imagery of the farm because my best memories from South Africa was my grandfather's farm and what the practices I saw on the farm. So I started off with that you got to plant the seeds of joy and the beginning stages. So what I said in the beginning, you need to have your regular exercise. You have to get your mind still. You have to get your brain in a certain place so that you've got a mental toughness. You've got to build the emotions. You've got to build all of those seeds. Then you've got to water them. A relationship doesn't grow overnight. To become a time master doesn't happen overnight. You've got to have those practices. To become mentally strong doesn't happen overnight. And you've got to constantly work at it. And like the farmer works at it and waters it all the time, and keep it going. It needs sunlight, it needs water, it needs fertilizer, all those things. But then the next thing that I said but now there are weeds growing between the plants. So what are the things that you need to cut out of your life? What are the things that are actually robbing you from joy? And it may be easy things to think about, but sometimes it's much, much more much more elusive, more difficult things to find. But if you, for example, are constantly surrounding yourself with certain types of people, that is something that you need to decide on. What are the people in my life that take me forward and the people that I can take forward as well that works in that place? And what are the activities, the bad habits, the things that rob me of joy? And what are the things that I do every day that may be addictions and like social media, for example? If you're constantly scrolling on social media, it's never given me joy. Every time when I've been starting to scroll on social media, when I put it down, I feel dissatisfied. It feels like there's something wrong, but I got these dopamine hits all the time. But so those things, you got to be ruthless. You got to cut them out. But then now once the crop starts growing and there's something to harvest, how do you harvest that? And there I drew the parallels of teamwork and trust in a team and how the team works together to bring that stuff to market, and how that then you have to spread it to the rest of the world. Because if you just sit on joy for yourself, or you just want to find joy for yourself, you're not going to get it, because joy is this byproduct, this blessing afterwards that comes to you. It's not like happiness. I can be happy in the moment because I've just done this and this and this and the following, and I feel happy. Joy is something that once you have to pass it on to really get the full benefit. So that's why I use that email.
So you run some McKay forums, yeah, right? And for those, could you just describe what McKay forums are for those that are listening that have no idea what that is?
Yeah. It's basically to populate the world with inspiring leaders. That's our dream. So we bring a maximum of 14 leaders together in a group where there are no competitors around the table. And they become it's a membership model. So they become a member for at least a year. And some of those members have been in their groups for 10 and 11 years and longer. They meet every 6 weeks, roughly, for a full day, and then 2 days a year for a retreat. So they have 7 meetings throughout the year, 6 one-day meetings and 1 2-day retreat. And over time, they work together. We get incredible speakers to come in for an hour and a half in the morning, to bring new information to them, to inspire them, those types of things. But then they also do updates to each other about what is going well in their business and what's not going well in their business, in their family life, and in their personal life. Our focus is on the business, but the other two areas are really important too, because if something is out of whack there, it spills over into their business performance. And also, by learning about their family and their personal struggles and celebrations, the group grows and the camaraderie grows. So this becomes this safe space for our leaders where they can bring their issues to the table. They don't have to be afraid of who's listening and who's not, because that's the one thing that's really difficult for a leader. It's very lonely at the top. They cannot have total open conversations at work because they need to bring the direction and the leadership to it. There's a little bit that they can have with the leadership team, but not that total conversation. And they don't want to bring all that stuff home either. So this brings that safe space, and they're surrounded by others.
So I haven't heard it described before as creating more inspirational leaders. Like, I love that. And do you talk about joy as part of that? Because I'm sure that there's a lot of McKay Forum leaders where that's not as embedded in them, as important to them as it is to you. So how do you bring up the notion of joy when you have these people that are all senior leaders and they're responsible to boards and employees and things like that to grow their company? Where does joy fit with them?
Yeah, well, you can ask it in different words. I use the word joy because I know exactly what it means to me. But you can ask them things like, are you getting what you want from your business? Hmm. Are you living the dream? What's the quality of your life? So what's the quality of the life of your team, of your employees? Are you looking after them? So it depends on how you package it. Now, at the retreats, we go really deep. And at the last retreat, we actually spoke about love as business language, okay? And you should see how people's eyes glaze over. It's amazing. I loved it. And now I end up every time at the end of the meeting, I say, love you guys. And if someone comes in the door, I give them a hug and I say, I love you. And because there are different kinds of love. It's not, you know, there are four types of love. You can Google it. I forget what the names are, but one is Eros love, which is, you know, romantic love, but there's brotherly love and there's love for your country and different things. So I love them as brothers and sisters and we're doing stuff together. But I love them because they're great people and they're working at themselves. You know, we all are on a journey and we want to have a better quality of life and we want to be better for each other. So what's not to love? Why not bring some joy into your life? That's what I do. And it sometimes just takes someone as crazy as myself and maybe yourself as well, where we just say, we're willing to go there. What? And, you know, when you do that, you should see it. I love it because we get people come in, like we bring a guest in at the last McKay Forum meeting. We have this guy come in. Now, he comes into this crazy bunch of people that have been together again and already. And so he came in and I shook his hand the first time. I don't want to scare the guy off. And then, but I hugged all the others. And when we were done, we were hugging and, you know, I was hugging everyone and some of them hug each other as well after the first retreat and stuff. And so the guy came to me and he said, I want a hug too. And I said, okay, you're in.
Very neat.
You know, we want to connect. We're people. And but there are so many people afraid these days of what is politically correct or what am I supposed to do and what am I not supposed to do? That's the beauty of being an immigrant and having an accent. I just say, you know, I'm from Africa. I don't understand all these nuances. I'll sometimes use wrong idioms and wrong whatevers, and sometimes I'll have a faux pas. Just tell me if it's really putting you off, and then we'll make a plan. But I'll ask for forgiveness all the time.
You know, you've only got another 10 years when you can work that one, Nico. So, you know, a number of the folks that I've had conversation with talk about relationship, and what occurs to me is that you know, there's so many people that would benefit from having, a joy group where, you know, a group of people they can get together with and feel safe and express love and learn and ask each other what they need for joy. You know, there's this McKay Forums are fabulous, but I think we all need that. You know, we need those people with whom we feel safe. And that can be with family or it can be outside the family as well.
Absolutely.
I think there's huge opportunities there. So this has been great. It's given me a new insight into McKay Forums for sure, because I've heard about them for many years. And really appreciate your talking about how joy is, it's an outcome. It's not something you seek. It's knowing what it is that gives you joy in doing those things and going for them. So if you were to give a little bit of advice, if you're to some free coaching here, Nico, to people that are listening, and if they decided that they wanted to pursue more joy in their life, what would you suggest? Where would they start?
Okay, I think I'm doing actually a session tomorrow for a group. And one of the exercises we're going to do is I'm going to get them to write down all the stuff they do in a typical week on a long list. Okay. And then I'm going to ask them to take a piece of paper and draw four quadrants. And I want them to put down at the bottom all the things that they don't like doing and they're not good at. Then the things that they don't like doing, but they became good at. Then the things they like doing and they're good at. And then the things they love doing and they're great at. Okay. And just put these four quadrants. And the next step then is the things that they don't like doing and they're not good at, they immediately have to kill. If they're in a business or in a part of a team and they do those things, they're actually doing a disservice to the team because they're screwing it up. They're not doing it well. Okay. Someone else needs to do it, or it needs to just be scrapped. Okay. The things that they don't like doing, but they became good at, they got to get rid of as soon as possible. This is their frustration zone, because these are the things that over time people saw you're doing well and they thought you want it. So they just give it to you, but you never complained. So you just took it. Like myself with financial statements, it sucked the life out of me. But I had to be the CEO, so I needed to know how to do these things. So then you just suck it up and you do it. But that sucks the life out of you. So you got to get that. And those are the things that you can delegate to people that are actually enjoying those types of things, because we're all different. Then if you look at the things that you like doing and you're good at, you've got to see how you can grow that. Because this is the stuff maybe where you need to learn more and you'll start really loving doing them. Or some of them might actually fall down on this area of, you don't really like them this much. Maybe it shouldn't be on your plate, but already that's your growth zone. And then you got those things that you love doing and you're passionate about and they bring you energy. Do more and more of them. They don't feel like work. When I'm in a room full of leaders and we're doing this type of work, facilitation and that stuff, it's not work. I feel guilty that they pay me to do it. Not that I'm not giving them invoice. I can overcome guilt. But that moment, it doesn't feel like work. I come home and I'm invigorated. The other day, I came back home from a session in White Rock. I said to my wife, I could have gone another 12 hours. This was fabulous because I'm in that zone. So my wish for everyone is to do this little exercise and do that regularly. So every 3 months, 6 months, do it and see what are the stuff that you've got to get out of your life.
So I'm going to add two pieces to that because it's my podcast.
Okay, go for it. If that brings you joy, go for it.
But, I love those four quadrants. And I think there's two things that are required to help make that transition. And the first is the courage, because it takes courage to stop doing something. And also support. So when you start to slip back into some old habits, there's someone to say, just a second, just like to remind you said you wanted to do that. Because I think those four quadrants are great. Making the transition is not necessarily as easy without both courage and support. So
that's true. Absolutely.
So, and I'm not available tomorrow to help with facilitate that.
So, thanks, David.
It's been, Nico, so great to see you again. So great to listen to you and your focus on joy. And hopefully that gives some inspiration to others to start looking at their lives and maybe make some changes. So I've been here today with Nico Heumann, author of The Joy Farmer, and I'll put some of this in the program notes. And this has been David Guthrow with another episode of Discover Fresh Perspectives. Subscribe now, because on Fresh Perspectives, every episode is an opportunity to explore new horizons and redefine what's achievable.